Welcome to Empowered From Within, a special series under Unapologetically Hers 2024-2025 Participatory Action Research Leadership Program. I'm your host, Precious Johnson, and I bring both experience and commitment to this critical conversation. This series is based on research conducted by incarcerated community researchers at Central California Women's Facility, exploring peer perspectives on job readiness and accessing current prison programs. Their findings highlight both the barriers to reentry and opportunities for change. Over 10 episodes, you'll hear firsthand from those currently incarcerated and those who have successfully reentered society. We'll examine challenges in job readiness programs, discuss access and equity in prison education, and explore ways to create real systematic change. Join us as we amplify these voices and push for meaningful action. Let's dive in. I'm honored to be joined by community researcher Midion, whose in-depth work with incarcerated peers has shed light on these barriers and the pathways to overcoming these at CCWF. Before we dive into our main discussion, Midion, can you share a little bit about yourself and your journey as a community researcher focusing on employment barriers at CCWF?
Yeah, sure. First and foremost, I just want to thank you for having me. I'm currently incarcerated at CCWF. I was sentenced to 49 in life, and I've been incarcerated for 17 years. So based on the analysis and the interview research that I gathered from the participants here at CCWF, I learned a lot about the barriers to employment. I discovered also that the impacts of those barriers, they sometimes come with negative consequences.
Negative consequences like what? Can you share?
Yeah. So there was many experiences that were shared by participants that had provided a lot of insight into individualized challenges. And some of those challenges helped me to understand why awareness of employment barriers are so important. So there was, there was one person in particular that I recall speaking with who's a transgender male here who spoke about a challenge of discrimination while housed at a sober living home because of his gender identity. He stated that he was removed from the housing programs after being there for a few weeks due to the program not allowing transgender males and having a females-only policy. So this was interesting to me. There obviously were some institutional and organizational errors on their part, which was also consequently prejudicial on his end. He told me that they had never informed him of their policy when he signed us. I don't know. That situation definitely rang personal for me, but it also was good insight that I myself as a transgender male needed to hear.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And what experiences have shaped your perspective on the challenges individuals face when reentering the workforce? Tell me how this has impacted you and your research.
So there was a lot of other experiences, and some people share their challenges that helped me to understand their awareness of employment barriers. Some of the most common barriers discussed were individuals not having sufficient work experience and them having non-marketable skills due to the limited jobs and trade programs here within the facility.
Okay. What do you think are the biggest barriers incarcerated individuals face while looking for work after release?
Well, some of the barriers that were shared, that were mentioned about discrimination, was having a criminal record and not knowing how to address gaps in resumes or work history when applying for a job. While talking to one of my peers, she stated that what she worries about the most is not being impressionable enough for job interviews. She then said that something that I thought was profound, and it provided awareness into some of those individual challenges that I was talking to you about before. She said, in quote, "I have many odds stacked against me. I'm Black, I have a criminal record, and I have limited education and work experience." So as you all see, all of these above mentioned are major barriers that incarcerated individuals face. According to research, statistically, formerly incarcerated people face a significantly higher unemployment rate of 60% as a result of struggling to find and maintain employment.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that insight and that research.
Sure.
Can you share specific examples or stories from your interviews that illustrate these barriers outside of the first story?
Okay. So one of my peers mentioned that they cannot alter the past. Therefore, it's advisable to concentrate on what they can modify. So this reflects the challenges of individuals' lack of skills and them not having the knowledge and understanding of how to present a strong resume. The best thing to focus on are the relevant skills and abilities that you do have that some peers emphasize. So I think that the highlights of the significance of these challenges are surrounded by being able to address resume gaps when addressing and while talking in interviews. Talking about the work history may come as a challenge if you can't address your transferable skills. So these are just some of the things.
Yeah, and what are folks saying about, you know, the resume gaps and their work history and how they plan to have this conversation and what types of trainings do they need to prepare them for this type of conversation?
So they're actually talking about building up the skills, them not having the knowledge and understanding of how to present a strong resume. So they're saying that the best thing to focus on is to be able to focus on the relevant skills and abilities that you do have. One of my peers emphasized on using what fuels the education that she has while also focusing on what she can change rather than what's in the past. She said that by highlighting her experiences, she takes groups while being here incarcerated. She gets on this Edovo program that helps her with job readiness skills. So that's just one of the things that is very helpful when addressing resume gaps.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. What role do you see discrimination and limited networking resources play in these employment challenges?
A huge role. So while having a criminal record can already be challenging, there are also racial disparities, disabilities, stigmas within the job market, gender and age discrimination that are current in today's society that can also present challenges and perpetuate negative consequences. So I told you about the participant who got kicked out of a sober living program because of the gender identity, right?
Right.
Okay. This same person indicated that the paroling system and the CCWF transition program provided him with resources that were outdated. He stated that when he called to fact check the resources, most of the organizations no longer existed. I couldn't believe it. I was thinking, this dude got to be the worst, have the worst kind of luck, or he a real good storyteller. But when I looked into his eyes, there was just something genuine about him. He leaned back and he said, "Man, that was a major setback for me because I didn't have a plan B." When he said that, I felt sympathetic for what he went through.
Yeah, that must be totally disheartening, right? And so are folks saying they're going to have another plan or they are seeking more resources and more networking opportunities? What exactly, how are they going to address this issue and prevent themselves from going through that type of issue? What are your peers saying about that?
So some of them were saying, like, do your research, know your rights, connect with people in your industry, make those personal connections that can help with overcoming the biases and stereotypes of these issues of discrimination. Seek out organizations that support you having a criminal record. That was pretty much what I got from all of that.
Thank you for sharing that. And that's super helpful. And it's going to be very helpful for us out here and our listeners. Sounds like issues like discrimination, non-marketable skills, and the difficulty of explaining gaps in work history are major hurdles. I hope I heard you correctly.
Yeah, that's right. There's definitely major hurdles upon entering the job force. Yeah.
Let's now move on to how these barriers might be addressed. How do you think a criminal record impacts job prospects and what strategies can help mitigate these challenges?
Well, considering the research information and speaking with some of my peers, some impacts that I discovered were having to deal with job interviews, personal judgments and biases because of criminal records, not being able to apply for certain jobs as a felon, and being restricted from obtaining certain occupational licenses, such as in nursing, working in the medical field, security services, working as a police officer, veterinarian, and dental. And that's just to name a few. When I was speaking with one participant who was sharing her experiences about losing her dental assistant's license as a result of her criminal conviction, she expressed some heartfelt emotions that got me a little choked up when she said, "How am I going to start my life over again when I had it all? I had a career." And these are just the type of challenges, the impacts of having a criminal record.
Yeah. Can you share a quote where Peer discussed reaching out to organizations that hire despite a criminal record?
Well, yeah. So one of my peers expressed that when he reached out to an organization about his criminal record to get a job offer, they didn't want to hire him. And they were advertising that they hire criminal felons. He assumed, I took it, as that they didn't want to hire him because of his gender identity, but that's hearsay. But he stated that he reached out to them, he asked for an interview for a job, and he was denied.
Must be devastating and confusing for that individual after seeing that job offer and not being able to have that opportunity. Have peers suggested any specific types of training, like resume creation, cover letter writing, or interview etiquette that could help?
So when I was talking with participants, there was a great amount of solutions shared about the support and resource that tackle employment barriers or support. When speaking to one of my interviewers, a woman who is serving an LWOP sentence, who's been incarcerated for over 15 years, stated that educational programs such as college and reentry drive training success are crucial when preparing for employment after release. She also pointed out that if you don't know how to create a resume, write a cover letter, or present yourself in a job interview, that there may be barriers that you create for yourself. I thought that this was some very interesting, wise information.
Yes, and it's disheartening to hear that she thinks that she's creating these barriers for herself by not having these opportunities while at CCWF. What types of jobs are incarcerated individuals hoping to pursue after release, and why do these roles interest them?
So hearing about all the hopes of all the individuals, incarcerated individuals pursuing potential careers were inspiring. But there were some eye-opening moments when certain individuals talked about not being able to pursue their dream job due to their criminal history. One member stated, "I'm interested in social advocacy work. I want to help people, so I'm looking forward to utilizing my educational degree towards promoting societal change." And that was just one person. Another person stated that she's currently still trying to figure it out, but she has to be realistic, because unfortunately, she won't be able to become the doctor or the practitioner in the medical field that she hoped to be. Though because of her record, she said that she'll more likely settle for home care. Yeah, so it felt good to hear about the hopes of job goals from all of my peers. But there was some eye-opening moments when certain individuals talked about not being able to pursue their dream jobs due to their criminal history. One participant shared that she wants to be a real estate agent because housing is a marketable profit. I agree. And if that don't work out, she said that her other goal is to become an AOD counselor because she loves to help people and addiction is rampant in her family. Then I talked to another lady who said she's interested in pursuing social advocacy work because she wants to help people as well and utilize her educational degree to promote societal change within the criminal justice system. This is the same lady who shared her story about losing her career job as a dental assistant before she was incarcerated. Then I talked to the guy that was down on his luck and having a hard time when he was released 3 years prior. He expressed his passion for the medical field, that he wanted to become a doctor, but says now they'll have to settle for home care or working a labor job due to having a criminal record. So these are some individuals that are currently working here at CWF. One of them is a peer support specialist, one is a porter, and the other is an inmate advisory council, CAC here. So the contrast between the job that they would like to pursue versus what they're pursuing are very different.
It sounds to be that way. What steps can we take now to prepare for the challenges of finding stable and meaningful employment post-release?
Most of the people that I chat with, they declare that the steps that they should take now are obtaining as much education and training as possible, creating an action plan that aligns with values and goals. Some even said remaining proactive, positive, and having a focused, forward-thinking mindset is key. All of these were great preparation tips, but there was one woman that said some words that were stuck in my head that was packed with color. She said, find your grit, consider all resources, take valuable guidance, understand your skills, strengths, and interests, and focus on what's important to you. Now, those were some good key factors.
Yes, they were great and valuable insights. Midion, looking back at your conversations with peers, what is the single most critical insight regarding how individuals can overcome these employment barriers?
I'm thinking, as I reflect back over each conversation that I had with my peers, the most essential insight from my peers regarding overcoming employment barriers are understanding the emotional and mental toll a reentering society and the workforce can have over you when it's compounded with that fear of judgment and dejection due to a criminal past. And with that, my fellow peers, they also added and stated that preparation and planning ahead will get you over that wall of barriers. And I agree. As one of the participants our interview said it best, she said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And that was simple yet powerful.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
It seems that developing a strong resume, seeking supportive networks, and cultivating a forward-thinking mindset are key to turning these challenges into opportunities.
Absolutely.
Today we learned that barriers to employment, whether from discrimination, lack of marketable skills, or gaps in work history, are significant. Yet our peers are also offered solutions, from emphasizing personal growth to connecting with organizations that support reentry. Midion, do you have any final advice for our listeners on how to start overcoming these barriers and helping folks inside today?
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to be able to spread awareness about employment barriers and the institutional challenges that many incarcerated individuals face. There's a lot of people who want to be successful, yet don't have the knowledge or insight into how to effectively transition after incarceration. What I've learned from experience and talking with my peers is that we have to continue to be proactive and approach barriers as lessons, as something we learn from, but also something we can overcome because of the awareness that's provided, and understand that there's always a solution. Just be positive about it. And that's what I got.
Thank you so much, Midion, for your insights, this conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
And thank you so much for all the hard work and research you're doing inside.
I try. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to Empower From Within. A special thank you to our guests for sharing their invaluable insights and our community researchers, and to our listeners for being part of this critical conversation. If you believe in the power of self-empowerment and the importance of job readiness for system-impacted individuals, visit uahers.org to learn more, share your feedback, get involved, or support this work. Don't forget to subscribe and join us next time as we continue exploring the realities of reentry, workforce readiness, and the systematic changes needed to build a more just future.